Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need, whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding. We always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life, really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad.
I'm on a journey to get better in all areas of life, from wellness and mental health to career and relationships and so much more. I know getting better isn't easy, but it's a whole lot easier when you can do it together. Welcome to Better Together with me, Maria Menounos.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Better Together. When you know better, you get better. Our quote of the day, relationships that do not end peacefully do not end at all. Whoa, that's a good one. I'm gonna say that again for you guys. Relationships that do not end peacefully do not end at all. Holy moly, that's my second holy moly already. That's by our guest, Catherine Woodward Thomas. She is the author of Conscious Uncoupling. We're gonna be chatting with her today all about how to facilitate the end of relationships, how to begin new relationships, how to know whether it's something to fight for, whether to, you know, say,
throw in the towel.
Goodbye, yeah. Nicely. Goodbye. But man, that's a really powerful quote.
I know.
Because it's true. The fight, I know so many people who are just still fighting. The whole point was to get away from each other, and you're actually more glued to each other. And your life just, wow. Mm. I mean, that's why you start to see stuff on Dateline. What? Oh boy. Well,
Maury.
Yeah, thank you guys for joining us as always. If you haven't joined us on Patreon, please do. We're going to make it really easy because I know it's kind of challenging for some of us who are not big on Patreon yet. You can go in the link on my Instagram bio and just click there, join us. Over the $5 level, you'll get access to these incredible shows. We've been seeing so many of you flooding over there. But the other reason to join us over at Patreon is we're really going to start focusing and doing so many cool things over there that is going to be exclusive that you won't get on the main show. So it will be worth your time and your money. And I hope that you'll help us build that show with you. We want to know what you want to know more of and what you like. So let us know in the Discord, and we'd appreciate it. If you haven't subscribed here on YouTube, please subscribe, and we'll always be able to let you know with notifications that we have someone amazing coming on the show. Ooh. And we have so many amazing guests coming up. It's so exciting. So please join us there. And yeah, so let's start our interview. Catherine Woodward Thomas is one of the most respected thought leaders in the relationship space. She famously coined the term conscious uncoupling, which is a framework by which struggling couples can work toward the idea of completing rather than ending a relationship. Though she's an expert on finding your happily ever after, Catherine is also a celebrated relationship coach who's passionate about bringing couples back together despite struggles. And her calling in the One course and book have served hundreds of thousands of people. I'm so excited. Thank you, Catherine, for joining us today.
It's an honor. Thank you for having me.
So I know that you're in Northern California. How are you holding up with all the fires?
Well, we're in Berkeley, so we're safe from the fires. But obviously, the air quality is bad, and we're heartbroken for our friends and watching very closely and opening our home to people who need a place to stay.
Oh, wow. You had a very traumatic situation with your family growing up, and it's what's catapulted you into this work, obviously. So before we get into your teachings, I think it's always nice for people to understand that you get where they're coming from.
Well, you know, I was like the least likely, candidate to ever be a teacher on love and relationships because I had really toxic patterns. I had a tendency to, all through my adult years, how that played out was unavailable people, a lot of dramas, a lot of traumas. I had a particular knack for getting involved in impossible love affairs, married people, engaged people, alcoholics, commitment phobic. Had a lot of codependency, a fascination with people who were very narcissistic and couldn't ever really be present to meet my needs. So I would say, and you know, meanwhile, I'm becoming a therapist. I'm founding a nonprofit organization. I'm a singer-songwriter. I had a cabaret career in Manhattan. So, you know, when we have these patterns, it's not like our whole lives are falling apart. In some areas, we're functional, you know, and people and doing great things in the world. But I can track it back. And I think that we're all pretty savvy with being able to connect the dots with my mother did this or my father did that. In my case, my parents got divorced when I was quite young. They were babies when they got married. They got married because they got pregnant, which was not a great plan since they didn't actually love each other. And they had a very antagonistic, angry divorce that lasted for years and ended with what we call parental alienation, where I lost connection with my beloved father, who I loved more than anyone on the planet. And I think that that was a very defining experience for me because there were decisions I made about myself that I wasn't lovable, that I wasn't valuable because in particular, the story is that he owed back child support and she threatened to sue him unless he gave up parental rights. And so he gave up parental rights. And how I interpreted that as a 10-year-old was that he sold me and that I wasn't valuable to him. So that's, of course, what I was playing out in my adult life. And truthfully, Maria, it wasn't until I got into my 40s and I was a meditator. And I, as I said, I was a psychotherapist from the inside out, really working on my own issues and always a person who pays things forward and tries to help other people. I'm a real big believer in that when you've gained some ground to reach out and help someone else gain ground. So that's actually how I became a therapist. I also had an eating disorder. It played out in that way that I started when I was 14, and it kind of came to a head when I was in my mid-20s. So I was in the 12-step program for 12 years dealing with that. So I was not a newbie to personal development. And yet I could not crack the code on how to heal myself enough to stop these kind of toxic dynamics that were happening that were so painful for so long, until I got into my 40s and I started to work with the metaphysical principles of standing for an unreasonable future that is not going to happen unless you actually commit to it. And I was a part of a group, and we were holding the high watch with and for each other. And mostly the group was doing things like doubling their income or buying their first home or starting a business. But my love life was the point that I really needed to transform. So I called up a friend from this group, kind of in a place of despair because I had yet another failed love affair. And I called her and I said, you know, I'm going to set a really unreasonable, outrageous intention to be engaged by my 42nd birthday. And thank God she didn't.
When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but
It's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it.
Laugh at me. But what she did say changed my life, Maria, because she said, Catherine, I will hold that with you and for you if you give me permission to hold you accountable for being the woman that you would need to be in order for that to happen. And that was a wake-up call.
So what did you do?
Well, so that was an invitation to stop blaming my upbringing, to stop blaming the culture, mm-hmm. to stop blaming men. I mean, we all have all these reasons, right? My thighs are too big. I'm too powerful. Men don't like women who are more powerful than them. I'm too messed up from my childhood. Those were all the kind of reasons I was telling myself. Excuse me, I'm just going to mute for one second.
Okay. Yeah, this is where Tony Robbins says, divorce the story, marry the truth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Divorce the story and marry the truth. That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Who says that?
Tony Robbins.
Good for him. Okay, yeah. I'm gonna borrow that.
Yeah, that's a good one. So
and divorce the story. I'm not valuable. Yeah. I'm all alone. Mm-hmm. I'm unwanted. All the meaning that we make from the traumas that we experience, really from people doing the best that they could, or maybe even not doing the best that they could, but making the choices that they made. It's not so much the trauma. It's the meaning that we make of the trauma and then how we are showing up inside of that meaning that is enrolling everybody into that story. And it's very covert. So what I did when my friend invited me to do this is I lay all of that down, all of the excuses, really all of the victimization. And there's a way that I was even at that point victimized by my own consciousness, meaning I knew that I had self-esteem issues. I knew that I had invisibility issues, codependence issues. But at some point, if those issues are bigger than me, if they're in the sign of the ethereal unconscious, which lives somewhere out here or in here, but in some dark place that I have no access to, I'm victimized by it. It's bigger than me.
Hey, Hill Squad and Better Together fam. It's been a tough year, but we hear from so many of you just how much our content is helping you heal and get better, and it makes us feel so good. Our team works so hard to deliver this life-changing content, and a lot of you guys ask, how can I have a bigger role in our Hill Squad community, or how can I do my part to help Better Together continue to uplift even more people? First of all, thank you for that sentiment, and we're so grateful for this community. If you could help us by giving us a 5-star rating and a comment on Apple Podcasts, that's amazing. Second, you could join the Better Together with Maria Menounos Facebook group and Instagram page. Third, you could share the show with a friend in need. And finally, for as little as $10 a month, please join our Patreon to get monthly live heal events with world-class healers, ad-free episodes of our show, and even weekly bonus episodes exclusive to Patreon. Getting better isn't easy, but it is a whole lot better when we can do it together. We love and appreciate and are so grateful for all of you.
And what I did is I stepped into being 100% responsible that I am the source of my patterns. I am the source of my experiences. And I am the one who's showing up now and perpetuating the story. I am the one who's leaving myself alone by self-abandoning. I am the one who's no longer valuing myself when I don't negotiate for my needs before hopping into bed with somebody. I am the one who is not wanting myself when I reject myself and I think that someone else is better than me and I decide that I'm inferior and they're somehow worthy of me organizing around them at the cost of my own well-being. So when I took that level of responsibility, that's when I started to really see how I was getting in my way. Now, I also was sitting on my meditation cushion every day, and I was doing the metaphysical technique of visioning, and I was very influenced by Michael Beckwith. I don't know if you know Michael, but he's at the Agape International Spiritual Center, and he created a visioning process that was very influential to me at the time and still is. I love his process, where you're visioning in a way where you imagine that what you desire is something that you have right now.
Yep.
And you put that into your senses. What does it smell like when the great love of my life is cooking my favorite meal for me? What does it sound like when he's singing in the shower? What does it feel like when he puts his hand on the small of my back and I just kind of melt? So you're putting that into your body and all of your sensations. And then, and this is Michael's process. And then I asked myself three questions. What would I need to give up in order for this to manifest? And then you sit in the silence and you listen, not like you're going to have some big booming burning bush experience, but you know, we know things intuitively. Mm-hmm. We sense things. We all know the answer to that question when we listen. The second question, what would I need to begin to grow and cultivate and develop to receive this into my life? And listen again. And then what is my next step? So that instead of begging God, you know, praying to the universe, hoping that it happens, I actually become a co-creator. And I start leaning into who will I need to be in order for that future to manifest? And what's the story of that future that I can now bring into my present? So Dr. Joe Dispenza says, Do not tell me the story of your past. Tell me the story of your future.
Oh, so good. We have him on the show. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's awesome.
But it's also Michael Beckwith's process is very familiar to me because I've studied Esther Hicks and, you know, Abraham Hicks and, you know, the kind of the power of, you know, your desires and your beliefs being aligned for in order for you to manifest what you want. So ask and it is given can only work if you actually believe it can come and it matches your desire.
And believe that you're worthy of receiving it.
Yeah.
And when it comes to love, I actually created a term called your core love identity. And this is why it's so difficult and challenging to change this particular pattern. I mean, all of the patterns that we're working on changing are challenging because it's effort to change a pattern. But there's something very core about the sense of self that we formed in response to our early childhood relationships. And in particular, to our dependency needs, which is not a very popular concept because we all like to think of ourselves as not really needing anyone and we're very independent people. But the truth is that nature really has designed us to be interdependent. And when we start to care about someone in an intimate way and we begin to form an intimate partnership with that person, our dependency needs will kick up. And if we had early caregivers who were untrustworthy in some way, or even had ill intent in some way, that's when we go into, I am not safe here, or a core, I am not loved. And so I have to constantly try and earn love or try and prove love or try and give love to try and get it. So all of the kind of core patterns that we have really boil down to this whole sense of self. So the beliefs that we have being aligned with the desires, it's really having almost a pre-conscious knowing in your body that I am worthy of the love that I desire. I am already deeply loved by all of life. It's evidence that I am wanted, that I am here, that life has conspired against the odds to get me here, that I have the power to keep myself safe. Right. So it's and a lot of the beliefs that we formed back then, Maria, are outside of language because they were formed when we were in the crib or even in the womb.
Or even too young to really be able to articulate what was happening.
Exactly. Exactly. So our challenge is to begin to put language to the felt sense in our body of where we go at the level of identity when we get quote unquote triggered. To every I'm alone or I'm not wanted or I'm not safe, there is a corresponding belief about others. So inside of the I'm not valuable, other people are better than me. Or inside of the I'm alone, everyone always leaves me. No one will ever really show up for me. Which is, of course, the foundation for getting entangled with married men, because if you're centered there, and this was what was happening for me, centered there, it didn't even occur to me in the early stages of attraction to assess whether someone could actually be there for me. It was such a, you know, we don't have beliefs like they're a cognitive thought. It's just the water we swim in. Of course, no one will ever be there for me. It's just an expectation. As much as the air that we breathe, if I breathe in, there'll be oxygen for me. So, you know, part of the task that we have, and it sounds cumbersome right now, but I assure you it's not, that once you begin to ask the right questions of yourself and you just take a bit of time to get conscious, they're right there. Mm-hmm. They're right there. What's the feeling I have in my body when the pattern runs again? Where is it in my body? And what's the I am? And it'll be right there. And then you say, how old are you, sweetheart? You just talk to that part of it. How old are you, angel? And that's where you get to tell that younger you, no, honey, it's not that you're all alone. You're not alone because I'm here. You're not alone. You were never really alone. It's just that your mother was 18 and scared and distracted and upset and afraid and certainly not ready to be a mother. That's what the reality was, but that had nothing to do with you. Let me tell you about yourself. Right? So, and also there are pieces in the second question, what would I need to grow and develop? Well, if you've grown up...
All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use, where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're going to love them.
Up with this I'm alone sense. You never actually know how to do things like navigate conflict well in a way that roots down love, as opposed to is the beginning of the end and destroys love. So there's actually missing development that keeps the pattern in place. So when you're able to wake up to the deeper truth, then you also say, what's the development I need to engage to graduate from this pattern?
What's the I am part?
So the I am is, so the I am deeply connected to everyone. And I did not come here to be alone. I came here to love and be loved. And I have the power to create happy, healthy relationships that last over time. I have that power.
Wow. I have an idea that you probably have already done, but you have such an incredible vocal tone and calm demeanor that makes someone feel so safe that I feel like you need to do a meditation that walks us through those questions and gives us the pause to come up with the answers. Like if you just walked everybody through that process, because it's a lot for someone to get into this place and to, you know, once you find the time, you're like, wait, what was the question? I really feel like that would be really cool.
I'm happy to do that for you guys.
I think it would be amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I do it in my classes and we do it all the time together.
Yeah, but you probably but have right. an app or something. I feel like I just signed up for this app called The Breathing Room. Are you familiar with it?
No.
Oh, I love my name, Lord. This woman, I was obsessed with her meditation. It was called The Soul Sync. And all of a sudden she left YouTube and I'm like, where is it? I need her. I need her Soul Sync. And her voice was perfect. And I found her. She created this app called The Breathing Room. And her voice just calms my whole body instantly. And I go into a whole meditative trance and it's amazing. But now you have the ability to do that, but also to help us find the answers to these massively life-changing transformations.
It is life-changing. And here's the thing. I mean, I'm a therapist and I love therapy. And I think that therapy is gorgeous. And some of the most sacred moments of my life have been sitting in that conversation with people. But therapy is not necessarily the technology of transformation. And it's a different process to manifest a miracle. And I'm going to call a miracle something that you've never been able to create before. So there's a difference between healing trauma, which we need to do, and actually declaring a future that's not going to happen and living into that future and actually co-creating that possible future. And there's a term that I love that that Hazel Marcus at Stanford created with Paula Nerius called the possible self, where you're stepping into the possible self of that future and you're living into that future. And when you do that and you start identifying the new ways of showing up from that future, your life changes fast. So, you know, those of us who've been doing our work for years, we understand the value of healing trauma and the slow and steady, countable progress we're making. But this is a shift like, whew, like that. You can shift it in an evening. Because here's the thing, beliefs are relational. There's only so much we're going to do just sitting, writing in our journals, or even talking about it with our therapist. Beliefs are relational. So if you have a belief that men don't want me, men want other women, you know, they just want me for sex. Let's say that that's, and some people have that. Men don't really want me for me. And so you're showing up in a way that is kind of covertly generative of that experience. You're giving yourself away too quickly. Maybe you're very sexually aggressive. You're kind of throwing yourself at people because inside of the idea that nobody wants me, you've got to work twice as hard to be wanted. So you're actually coming on really strong inside of that consciousness. The moment you get, oh, I am a woman who is worthy of being wanted. And many men would want me. And I'm an extraordinary woman who's worthy of being wanted. And then you start showing up from that center. And suddenly, you're not overgiving your energy. You're just present. And you're kind of waiting to see what's coming towards you, to see whether you want to accept that or not into your life. And suddenly what happens is men start to show up differently. It happens like that. Mm-hmm. And you realize, oh, that was never true. That was always something I was doing. It was never who I was. Mm-hmm. And it's in the relational field where people are showing up differently that we begin to wake up out of the trance
so
of the old story.
So that could be applied. That same technique can obviously, I would think, be applied to a marriage that's hurting, right?
Absolutely.
You can shift the marriage. You can make those adjustments just with those perspective shifts or the energy shift or, right? Can you explain that?
And that's the next work I'm really exploring right now is how does this then play out in relationship? Because I think that where we get stuck in our relationships is that we will, outside of conscious awareness, very often just default to an old story. Our dependency needs, somebody disappoints us, we don't get our needs met, and we'll default to, see, no one will ever be there for me. Some old story, I am all alone. Even in this relationship, I'm alone. Mm-hmm. And then inside of that center, maybe we start to get so anxious that the other person's going to leave that we start to self-abandon chronically. I'm going to just start to people-please you. I'm going to put your feelings and needs above my own. Now I've self-abandoned. I've created aloneness and alienation within myself. And essentially, if you do that long enough over time, you leave the other person all alone in the relationship because it's not really you that's in that relationship. You're just trying to be who you think they want you to be in order to try and get them to not be alone. So I'm giving one out of 1,000 scenarios about how that works. But those of us who have what's called anxious attachment will be playing out. You haven't heard that?
No.
Anxious attachment? So back in the 80s, John Bowlby created the attachment theories. Before that, look, a lot of us, I'm in my 60s now, so a lot of us, and particularly people my age, we grew up in the age of Dr. Spock, and back in the 50s, he was telling mothers, do not pick up your babies when they cry. Let them cry it out. You don't want to create dependent adults. Well, now, of course, we know the exact opposite is true. That because consciousness is forming, babies only have their voice to cry. They can't, feed themselves. And they will die if nobody comes. So that's a real anxiety that babies have. And some of us got stuck there. Wow. So we'll do anything to not be abandoned. And abandonment might even, for those of us who have this at an acute level, which I did, those of us who have this very severely will get that anxious just even when someone's not happy with us. Mm-hmm. If they are disapproving of something that we do. So that's the core of the codependent, dynamic. And we've been chipping away at this on a symptom level, and we kind of know that we need to have better boundaries or, things like that. But really there's inner development of understanding your own consciousness. And it has to start with saying, sweetheart, you're never alone. I'm right here. I will not abandon you anymore. Mm-hmm. I will not abandon you. Because our relationships with others can only be as good as our relationship with ourselves. So if you can interrupt that, now you're in the couple and you have someone who's able to say, wait a minute, I have a feeling that's different than yours. I have a desire that's different than yours. One of the hallmarks of happy, healthy love is the ability for someone to tolerate being disappointed and not withdraw love.
Ooh.
Ooh, right?
That's a good one.
And vice versa. My love is going to disappoint me and I don't like it and I can express that, but I don't punish that person by withholding my love or withdrawing love. That's what creates health in a relationship, because now you can have people safe to be autonomous, whole people who are separate. Yet
I remember my mom always struggling with her hair. It's frizzy, Maria, my mom would say in her Greek accent. Τι έχεις? What do you have? I tried so hard to find her products. I wish I could share these products I'm using now with her, because I know she would be so happy to finally have good hair days. I've always believed that hair is a woman's best accessory. And with Way's new anti-frizz cream, you can ensure that your hair always looks its best without the frizz stealing the spotlight. It's a lightweight cream that not only provides immediate frizz control, but also helps prevent heat damage. And get this, it lasts up to 72 hours. That's 3 whole days of frizz-free, gorgeous hair. Way seriously has some of my favorite products for taming the frizz. Pro tip, one of my biggest discoveries is using the Way hair oil on the ends of my hair before I dry it. Let me tell you, it's a game changer. Once it's dry, my hair looks so smooth and polished, I don't even need to do anything else. It is incredible. I love it. Frizz-free, up your schedule with Way. Go to the Way, theouai.com, and enter the promo code HEALSQUAD for 15% off any product. That's the Way, theouai.com, promo code HEALSQUAD. Trust me, you won't regret it.
Together. So some of these things, you have to go back to the level of consciousness. When I was in the crib and nobody was coming, when I was crying. And you have to almost do, that practice with yourself where you go and you pick the baby up. You say, I'm right here, sweetheart.
Yeah.
I'm right here. And it's okay. And it's actually healthy and safe to express your needs, your desires that are different, your displeasure with the other person's behavior, your opinions that are different. And so you create, when you start to pattern interrupt how the dance step goes, it gives the other person a chance to grow too. And if you're really good friends, which hopefully we're all aspiring to, you can actually tell each other what the triggers are. Wow, you didn't like what I just said, and now I'm in an I'm bad story, and I think you're going to be mad at me and leave me. That's, wow, I'm 4 years old right now. Hang on, let me find my adult so I can respond to what you just did.
Wow, I love that. Let me find my adult. Yeah, I know, because like if Kevin and I, my husband and I, get into any kind of like good, meaningful fight or argument, I will get really panicked that it's over. I'm like, oh my God, it's over.
Yeah,
and then
it, right?
That must be the little girl in me that's afraid, and I'm just going to have to be like, oh no, let's find the adult. And
well, and the first person you need to talk to is her. So this isn't about bypassing her at all. Right. This is about you saying, hang on, Kevin. Hang on.
Yeah.
Because I've got a very, you know, frightened three-year-old here right
that
now.
That has nothing to do with you. Yeah.
That has nothing to do. That predated you.
And that puts them at ease instantly, because then they know they're dealing with something that was pre-existing. And that now you're going to make an effort not to bring it into this.
Yeah, and then they become an advocate in your healing. They become your friend and ally.
Wow. That's incredible.
Isn't that great? But I think that you know, there has been beautiful work in Imago therapy where some of this is distinguished, how we're playing out the old stories. One way I differ a bit from the Hendricks, who I love and respect tremendously, they've done a lot to help a lot of people. But I think that one of the things that they say is we are the keeper of each other's healings. And in that moment where you're in the three-year-old, that ideally, I think Kevin would step up and know that and start to nourish the three-year-old. I actually disagree with that, because I think we're so powerful that if I'm in the three-year-old, I will show up in ways that will pull on others to duplicate what happened in the past. So I'm actually like setting up the scenario inside of the power of my own consciousness. And so what I need to do first is I need to tend to the three-year-old. Mm-hmm. I need to know what the truth is. I need to be standing in a place of 100% responsibility for how I'm interpreting what's happening and then responding to what's happening in a way that could potentially generate evidence and set people up. Haven't you ever been in a relationship where you feel like they just completely set me up? I never behave that way. Mm. I behaved that way with them because that's how they expected me to behave. And then they covertly set me up and there was no way to avoid it.
Now, do you have any role in that? Because you carry in a certain energy?
Well, it could lock in, but I think it's happened to me where there hasn't been a role necessarily. You know, somebody does something, they put you in a double bind and you're kind of damned if you do or damned if you don't. And mm-hmm. you end up playing out that situation with them. I think what happens with couples is that very often we will choose people who have a similar story to ours.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll kind of bounce off each other.
Like
if you notice,
bond.
You know, we all feel, you know, if you're in a situation with your partner and you're feeling completely unheard, if you went to them and say, well, how are you feeling? They'd say, I feel completely unheard.
Yep. That sounds pretty accurate. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting. I wonder, like, you know, when you're dealing with couples who are trying to figure out, is this relationship salvageable? Is this one to fight for, or do we throw the towel in? How do you guide them in those scenarios?
Well, I do err on the side of keeping people together. I'm a big believer in long-term love. And I didn't create conscious uncoupling because I make light of breakups. I created conscious uncoupling because even though I'm pro-marriage, I'm not pro-misery. And I also recognize that the happily ever after myth, which we're all collectively aspiring to as the holy grail of love, mm-hmm. was actually just created by people who were somewhat desperate about 400 years ago in life conditions that were very difficult and very different from our life conditions. And one of the differences is that the lifespan was under 40. And there was no mobility, there was no promise of upward mobility in particular, because there was a law on the books. This is back in Italy in the 16th century, and there was a law on the books that forbid a noble person from marrying a commoner. So if you were born into poverty, you were going to die in poverty. So we have to look at some of these cultural myths that we're aspiring to and say, wait a minute, where did that come from? And mm-hmm. who set that rule? Like, who made that up? I think we have the happily ever after kind of with God made the mountains, God made the sun, and God made us to live happily ever after. And that's how we kind of hold it. But it's not necessarily how it is. So I'm not a believer in long-term union when people are unkind to each other, when they are out of integrity with each other for a long period of time, when they are so out of sync, when they have slipped into going from soulmate to soul hate, and the bond is a negative bond and a destructive bond. I think we all can point to couples who have kind of done damage to each other's souls over the years. Years ago, I heard Thomas More say, do not celebrate the marriage of 50 years until you know what that marriage has done to the souls of the two people who've been in that marriage. So but having gone through the consequences, really not just once, but three times, my mother was married four times, three very toxic divorces, so much so that the third divorce, she divorced my stepfather when I was 25. He just recently passed, God bless him. But up to about 6 months before he died, he was still calculating how much money my mother owed him and threatening to take her to court. So I understand toxic divorce.
Yeah. Well, do you think that's why maybe you are more of a fan of staying together, because you know how painful the exit is?
Well, it's why I created not a pain-free exit, because we're not designed that way. If we lose someone we love, we will always feel sad. Yeah. But a toxic-free exit, where it has dignity and respect. By the way, most people think conscious uncoupling is only if two people are going to do it together. It's actually written for the individual. Because completion isn't just about the physical completion. It's not just about giving the keys to the condo back. Completion is about truly being at peace and having internal closure. Merritt Malloy once said, relationships that do not end peacefully do not end at all.
I know. We started the show with that quote. I mean, we thought it was your quote. Now we know it wasn't your quote, but regardless, it was an amazing quote. I think, did you see the movie, The Marriage Story? I think it was called Marriage Story.
I did.
Lord, how poignant was that? How real was that? And don't you wish like you could find a way to be in the middle of all of them so that you could just give them this route?
Well, I want a sequel to The Marriage Story, which is two people who've actually gone through conscious uncoupling together as they're going through it, because the story doesn't have to go like that. And what to me that movie portrayed was you have two really good people who are starting off with the best of intentions. And still, it became...
As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. you know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Mine is the sweet chili.
This horrible, gnarly knot that did great damage to the souls of the two people who were separating and to their child. So that's what conscious uncoupling is avoiding, because we don't know how to do this well. See, inside the happily ever after myth, we just have it that it's bad and wrong to separate. And so we never learned how to do it well. But there is a way to do it well that's much more elegant, much more generous, much more contained and kind. And that's actually what that offering is. And I will tell you, Maria, that when I created it, I first created it as an online course, and I had maybe 1,000 people through the course when Gwyneth got wind of it. And she popped it into the lexicon, and the next day it was in the dictionary. And the dictionary definition was changing the face of divorce in the 21st century. And I swear I could have died then and there. I was just so fulfilled and happy that I would have contributed something that corrected the deepest wounding I had suffered. And I think that that's what we're all here to do, truthfully.
Yeah. It's amazing. Well, I was saying earlier how you talk about don't bore God with your little visions, right? Go big. And I wonder, was that something that you ever put out there?
What that you mean in a book or something?
No,
what,
did you ever put out there with God that you wanted to be able to fix this for people?
Oh, that's interesting. I will tell you that from a very young age, and I haven't really ever been able to figure out where the source of this came from, but I have had a burning desire to contribute goodness to the world, healing, light, and love. As a matter of fact, I had a spiritual awakening when I was 14, which is a very fancy way of saying I was a pretty messed up kid, because you now know my playing field. So I was actually scheduled to go and do drugs. I was an at-risk kid. So I was smoking by the time I was 10 and doing drugs by the time I was 14 and, you know, sleeping around by the time I was 14 too. I was quite troubled. And I was supposed to go to this party where we were going to do some hard drugs. And then the girl got sick, so I had nothing to do that weekend. And I had a friend invite me to a little church service that she went to. And because I had nothing to do, I went. I sat in the corner like this with my leather jacket on. You know, I was just completely bored. This stupid Sunday school class led by this woman, ironically named Faith, with buck teeth. And I thought the whole thing was ludicrous. But at the very end, she invited each of us to go around the room and just say a simple little prayer going out. And when it was my turn to speak, and I prayed out loud, this energy came in, like it was really a Kundalini awakening. I never knew such a thing existed, but this light came through the top of my head and whisked through my body. And from that moment forward, I knew that there was something larger than me. And that I was not supposed to destroy myself. So I actually stopped doing drugs, which was great. It saved my life.
That was it.
That was it. I just stopped doing drugs. I just knew that I was loved and that I had a reason to be here. And so I started doing things like reading sacred scriptures and all sorts of things. I mean, I would do it with a cigarette hanging out of my mouth. So it was kind of
amazing.
It was kind of a wild mess. But I had this prayer all through when I was a teenager, please let me do something good in this world. So
wow.
That's really where it came from. So I didn't have the conscious uncoupling in particular, but.
But you did it. Aww, you did something good in this world. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What a beautiful story.
Oh, thank you.
I just like envision everything that you had gone through. And just, it's like I was saying earlier in the show, nothing's really happening by accident. We're just not paying attention. We're moving so fast. And so you were guided to that space, to that church that day for a reason, because God wanted to tell you that he loved you. That's crazy.
And that I shouldn't destroy myself with drugs.
Yes. And that you had a higher purpose.
I've still never done hard drugs to this day.
Good. But I think it's kind of full circle for what we were talking about earlier. It's really amazing. And your work is amazing. And I have so many other things that I would love to get to at some point with you. We can have another session, especially with your new book, because I can see where you're going with it, and it's powerful stuff. And I think, you know, we all have traumas. We've all been victimized in different ways, but you know, as Tony says, divorcing the story and marrying the truth, as hard as it is, it actually is a shorter time period of hard and a longer period of easy, rather than having the hard long that you will continue to live through if you continue to be attached to that story.
That's right. That's right. Beautifully said.
So thank you so much. Wow, this was a beautiful conversation, and I'm obviously very moved. So thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today and share all of that knowledge. And I look forward to another chat with you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Whew. Man, every day, guys. Every day.
Woo. I have so many good things from her.
I mean, taking it up a notch every day.
That's wild. I love that. I would read the scripture, but with the cigarette hanging out of my mouth.
Yeah.
But, damn. It's she spoke so purely to the fact that you really, like you said, if you listen and you schedule your think tank time, right?
Yeah.
You listen, you look around, you can change yourself. Not only change yourself, but you can change everyone around you. You can really give back, and I don't know.
So cool.
It gives me chills.
Jeff is so moved, he's speechless.
Well, I just loved when she said, do not celebrate a 50-year marriage until you know what that marriage has done to those people's souls. Whoa.
Right?
I think what's so beautiful about her work is, like, I think when people hear about conscious uncoupling, they assume she's like a pro-divorce relationship expert or whatever, you know? It's so easy to, especially because the idea of conscious uncoupling has been kind of hijacked by the culture, I feel. Mm-hmm. But she's totally this really, really firm believer in the beauty of love. And I think what she's doing is advocating for self-love first, which allows for love in a couple, but giving people permission to walk away if it's damaging their souls. That's so important.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, thank you guys, as always, for joining us. I think we should ask her, by the way, to do that meditation. I was giving it as like kind of an idea for her. But since she was so excited to do it for us, I think it'd be great for our audience to be able to have that kind of, have someone walk them through those steps. So Jeff, if you would ask her to do that, that would be amazing.
When you said that, I was like, spot on, that voice you could just lay and listen to forever.
Well, I'm thinking, Maria, maybe for our Patreon. We've been wanting to put more exclusive kind of bonus content there.
I have to say my one other thing that I loved that she said, because it tied back to Tony, was asking the right questions. It's like, you can discover so many things if you just ask the right questions.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Follow us at Catherine Woodward Tom, T-H-O-M on Twitter, at Catherine Woodward Thomas on Instagram. We'll put all of this in the summary so you guys can just click and find her. At Jeffrey Crane Graham, at Kelsmeyer too, at Maria Menounos. And remember, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.